Yeah, right.
Spook out. It's okay. Sorry, Alan.
I thought I was getting out of that.
It was
the
when I chose to.
Okay. Start commanding, please.
Right.
Pledge allegiance.
No, we do. Okay.
Pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay.
Ms. Ryan?
Present.
Mr. Fox?
Here.
Mr. Britton is absent. Mr. Kutosh?
Here.
Mr. Knox?
Here.
Mr. Gallagher?
Here.
Mr. Bradwell?
Here.
Mr. Cervantes is absent. Mr. Conley?
Present. And we didn't do the statement.
Okay.
As per requirement of Public Law 1975, Chapter 231, notice is hereby given that this is a regular meeting of the Borough Planning Zoning Board of Adjustment and all requirements have been met. Notice has been transmitted to the Asbury Park Press and into River Times. Notice has been posted on the public bulletin board.
Okay, first is approval of resolutions for Zoning Board Case 2010-3, quick check.
That's just memorializing, right? Well, they all are really.
Yeah.
Memorializing resolution from the last meeting about the building permits.
I move that we approve this resolution.
Offered by Mr. Gallagher.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Mr. Kutosh.
Thank you. Roll call.
Ms. Ryan?
Yes.
Mr. Kutosh?
Yes.
Mr. Knox?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Mr. Braswell?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Resolution for authorizing professional legal services.
I'll make that motion.
Offered by Ms. Ryan.
Greg, is this essentially the same as...
It's the one we do every year. I have good news, though. January 1st, we are converting to a calendar year.
Good.
So we will only have to do it
once in the beginning.
I never once collected on those resolutions.
Yeah.
So
okay. This is the last time doing it.
Well, you never know.
Okay, keep your fingers crossed.
All right. So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Yeah, I second.
Seconded by Mr. Gallagher.
Roll call.
Ms. Ryan?
Yes.
Mr. Fox?
Yes.
Mr. Kutosh?
Yes.
Mr. Knox?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Mr. Conley?
Yes.
Mr. Braswell?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Resolution authorizing professional engineering services.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we carry this to the August meeting.
Okay. Do we need a...
Need a second
on
that?
Any,
yes.
Any kind?
I'll give a second on that.
Seconded by Ms. Ryan.
All right, thank you. Roll call.
Ms. Ryan?
Yes.
Mr. Fox?
Yes.
Mr. Kutosh?
Yes.
Mr. Knox?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Mr. Connelly?
Yes.
Mr. Braswell?
Yes.
Motion carries. Carry to August.
Thank you. Okay, our first hearing, only hearing, Zoning Board Case 2010-3, quick check.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Henry Kent Smith, Fox Rothschild, appearing on behalf of Quick Check Corporation. We're here tonight to address the satisfaction of our site plan resolution condition 6, which required us to come back before this zoning board once we had ascertained the location of and how the remediation equipment was going to be located on the subject property. We're here tonight with Derek Jordan, a professional engineer from Bowler Engineering, who will present to the board the location of the remediation equipment, how it interacts with the site, the fact, and will testify with regard to its location. We also have representatives from ExxonMobil, who will answer any questions that the board may have as it relates to the site plan and its location. Just as a little preamble, the site is governed under the recent New Jersey Licensed Site Professional Review Act, or an LSRP, Licensed Site Review Professional, will be a licensed site review professional, will be the person who will be responsible for oversight of this remedial activity. He works under the auspice of technical guidelines that were adopted by the NJDEP, which mandate the LSRP's exercise of its discretionary authority on the remediation. So those issues are under the jurisdiction of the LSRP.
What is that acronym?
Licensed Site Remediation Professional.
Okay.
And it's a person licensed by the NJDEP through a test. I trust you passed your test. Good.
This is the first time you're doing this?
Well, actually, it's a brand new program. It's the. It's just, this is the very first test.
It is.
Ever.
Yes.
Yes, yes, it is. The very first time. So he actually undertakes the environmental remediation. So the review before the board is on the location of the equipment and how that interfaces with the site plan. So Mr. Jordan, if you could come on up. And you'll need to be sworn. He does need to be sworn.
Okay.
He didn't testify.
That's what I thought. I swear the testimony you give before this hearing to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You want to state your name, spell your last name, give your address, please.
Derek, D-E-R-E-K, Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N, work for Bowler Engineering, located at 35 Technology Drive, Warren, New Jersey, 07059.
And Mr. Jordan, you're a professional engineer who is responsible for the plans that are before the board tonight as it relates to the location of environmental remediation equipment.
Yes,
sir. Let me take care of some housekeeping things first, Mr. Kinsman. They mark the things we have.
These, all right.
Maybe he did these himself. No, that's Mr. Kinsman. This remediation equipment plan, which is three sheets, we'll mark that. Should we start over again, Carolyn? Pick up an old memory system.
The last, if you want the last exhibit under the old,
yeah, do you have that resolution?
Yeah, I have the resolution right here. We were stopping at exhibit A21.
This would be, well, let me make this A22 then.
Okay.
Okay, and then, so A22 would be the remediation. Three pages by Amy Cahill, Keith Cahill, Bowler Engineering. I think, you don't need to mark your letter, but I think that's the only exhibit we've gotten since the last time. Right?
I believe so.
And we did get a two board engineer review letters,
right.
But I think the June 20 one supersedes the May 7 one. So,
right, correct.
So we'll make B. What do we go up to on B then?
All right. Let's see what we are at B. I see B.
It should be right below your. Must have been one.
I would think so. I don't see it in the resolution.
Really? We must have had a review of it.
I know we did. We had a couple of them. Site plan. You know, and I don't even see, I'm looking at both resolutions, Greg, and I don't, B1 is the only exhibit that I have from the prior resolution.
B1, okay, I'll make this B2.
Okay.
B2?
Yeah. B2 it is.
And this is the board engineer revised review letter dated June 20. One question on that. There's a reference at the bottom of the second page to the consolidation deed. Has that been sent for recording?
Yes, it has. Deed has been recorded.
Oh, it's been recorded.
Yes. In fact, I may have it.
Yeah, June 11th, it says the page.
Yep.
Oh.
I have a copy right here.
Yeah. Okay.
Deed book 8940, page 3407.
I think that's it.
Mr. Baxter, excuse me. Let's get started here. Mr. Jordan, you're the one who's testifying.
Yes, I am.
Good. Mr. Jordan, could you please describe to the board just briefly your professional qualifications in terms of the plan?
I received a Bachelor's of Science in Civil Engineering from Ohio Northern University. I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey and oversaw the preparation of these plans.
Now, if you could, then, first let's reference the board, the original approval, and then show the board where we're proposing to locate the remediation equipment.
The plan up here, if you want me to mark it as an exhibit, it's page 2 of the plans that you have that you just marked, 822. I can mark that on this as well if you want to.
All right, make it 823 then.
What's part of 822?
It's page 2. I know. We'll keep it low.
Okay.
Actually, is it the same size or not?
Same size, same everything. That's exactly what you got.
Yeah, right. It's the same size.
Yeah.
I made no changes to it. I just put it on the board so it's easy to talk about. In terms of the site, the original approval, everything has basically remained the same. The building, the canopy, the tanks, grading, underground utilities are all basically the same as they were previously shown. Some minor changes to water line location stuff based on working with the final connections with the water department. But in a sense, the site is exactly the same. Same number of parking stalls, same entrance drives, locations on both Route 36 and Ocean Boulevard. With regards to the location of the remediation equipment, which is why we're here, that has been located in the southwest corner of the property in the two parking spaces closest to Route 36 in the rear of the building. They maintain three parking spaces, three of the angle parking spaces closest to the cell tower, which we stated in the previous hearings that we would maintain for that use. There's a shed and a small pad for equipment, which will go in those two parking spaces. Everything will remain completely within those two parking spaces. They are fenced off, the area is fenced off, and there are bollards in front of the parking stall along the drive out protecting the fence.
And just describe the fence to the board.
The fence is going to be a chain link fence with slats in it, black slats to prevent just sort of screwing the trailer and the equipment in there.
And the total number of parking spaces that had originally been approved was 39. This would reduce that by 2, correct?
Correct.
And is that still going to provide sufficient parking for the operation of the quick check?
Yes.
And would there be any interference with this location of this equipment with any circulation movement on the site?
No, we're not. It does align with a one-way drive aisle in the rear of the building. There's a loading in the rear of the building, and there's also after the fence is installed in the bollard, it's a 17-foot wide drive aisle between the edge of the striping on the loading zone and the edge of the bollards. So there's actually enough room if a truck was parked in the loading zone unloading, there's actually enough room for another truck to bypass that and stay between the bollards and that truck. So there's no impact to circulation and how the site will operate.
And is there, as it relates to this equipment, any noise or any flashing lights or anything like that associated with the equipment at this location?
No lights or anything like that. I'll leave it up to Exxon to discuss the noise and that type of stuff.
Now, with regard to the underground aspect of the improvements, everything else, all the piping and other servicing is located below grade, correct?
Correct.
And the wells will be flush mounted with pavement, the actual sampling wells, so that there won't be any intrusion into the site as a result of those wells.
That is correct.
Okay, so in your opinion then, this is the remediation equipment, it meets the setback requirements from the various borough ordinances?
Yes, it does.
So in other words, it's a fully conforming location at this structure at this location?
Yes, it is.
I have no further questions for Mr. Jordan.
This is the same location of the equipment and footprint that has been on the plans before?
No. Do you have the marked exhibits from before, or do you have them there?
I do not have the marked exhibits. They were.
You had the original site plan.
I did print some of the stuff off. The rendering, the previous rendering,
I'll just make a representation. we had thought we were going to be putting the equipment in this location, and I'm pointing to just south of the curve line of the westernmost parking spaces between those parking spaces and Route 36. That location is actually intrusive. It's closer to the road, more visible. We just felt it was better to put the equipment in the actual parking, particularly since we had 39 stalls. Reducing two still gives more than enough parking.
This is different, but it's...
Same basic location.
It's within feet of the other one. Okay.
Correct. That is correct.
In addition, this location doesn't mess with the landscaping design that was previously shown and approved. That all gets to stay in the plan exactly as we testified.
Does it interfere with any walkways for pedestrians or anything like that?
No, the crosswalk comes up along the west side of the Route 36 driveway, and the crosswalk is before you would get to there.
You know what? You have the exhibit, the aerial. It's actually the correct profile location to put you right down here.
This one?
You know, just so the board, that one right there. This is, you're going to be referring to A9A. If the board recalls previously, we were actually looking at the shed right where these trees are as where the initial proposed location would be. Now, where the car is parked is where the shed will be, and that way will enable us to plant all of that landscaping as shown in the approved plan without interfering with any operation on the site.
Anyone else?
No. I have no comment. It seems to be a logical location.
Okay.
And again, with regard to just the one question, Monica, if you could, I just want to talk about noise and that.
Before we release the, is there any members of the public that have any questions for
Mr. Jordan?
Okay, seeing none. Thank you.
You need to raise your right hand.
I swear the testimony you give before this hearing will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Right. State your name, please. Spell your last name and give your address.
It's Joseph Luty, L-U-T-Y. Work for Groundwater and Environmental Services at 1340 Campus Parkway, Neptune, New Jersey.
Already?
Yes, okay,
Mr. Luty. The one aspect, the borough does have regulations governing noise, glare, and other types of impacts that could create a nuisance or otherwise impair the life quality of people who surround the property. Is there any aspect of this operation, this equipment, that would create excessive noise, light, glare, dust, or anything along those lines?
No, we've installed, as far as the noise is concerned, we've installed several systems similar in nature. We've actually recently, in preparation for this meeting, took a representative site that's very similar, similar type of equipment, and took some noise level readings outside the enclosure. The enclosures are built with sound attenuating material to keep them, because the equipment does generate noise, but that's why they're put inside, in order to prevent that noise from being on the outside. Just as an example, the system immediately outside the subject sample system, we had a noise level reading of 75 decibels, which would be right immediately outside the enclosure, which is similar to, let's say, a residential washing machine. 20 feet away from the system enclosure, we'd have a reading of about 60, which is kind of normal conversation speech. Mm-hmm. And then at that particular site, which was also situated along a multi-lane state highway, which had background readings of about 57 decibels, when the system was off, that was the same reading that we measured with the system running. So basically, beyond 100 feet, it's not even audible above the surrounding noise.
And there's no lights or anything else?
There's no lights outside the system. There's no smells. We operate under an air permit from the NJDEP that prohibits any type of odors from the exhaust.
Thank you very much. I have no further questions.
I have some questions.
Sure.
Could you tell us your credentials?
Oh, I'm sorry. I have a bachelor's degree in chemical engineering from Columbia University. I'm a registered professional engineer in New Jersey, and I've been practicing environmental remediation and doing remediation systems for 17 years.
Okay, now the tell us what this equipment, this noisy equipment, is going to be doing.
Well, it's not noisy.
It's not noisy. Just testify.
The equipment, basically, you have a vacuum blower that's pulling air from the subsurface, and you have another blower that's injecting air into the subsurface below the water table. And the injected air is used to help the removal of gasoline constituents from the groundwater, and the extracted vapors collect those vapors that come from the groundwater, as well as any vapors that are in the soil. And it's treated through, outside of the enclosure, there'll be an oxidizer, which basically burns the vapors and emits virtually nothing, CO2 and water vapor.
And that oxidizer, that's outside.
That'll be outside.
This vaporizer is going to be in a shed.
The vacuum blower and the injection blower inside the enclosure.
Right.
So those are the ones that make noise.
Right.
The oxidizer itself makes no noise. Basically, it has electric heaters that heat the air up coming from the blower.
Mm-hmm.
It passes across a catalyst, similar to a catalytic converter in your car.
Right.
And changes the gasoline vapors into harmless carbon dioxide and water.
Okay. And how are they connected to each other?
Piping. There's the wells, each of the extraction wells in the ground is connected via subgrade piping that's tied into the in trenches below grade that no one will see. That'll sub up inside the fence compound and go into the enclosure. Those will all connect to a single pipe that goes through the blower,
right.
And the blower will be charged through another single pipe through the wall of the enclosure back out to the oxidizer, which is located outside.
Okay. And would the elements have, if we had a hurricane or a blizzard or something, how are the elements going to impact, one, the structure, and two, the oxidizer outside?
The structure itself will most likely be something pre-manufactured, something like a shipping container or just a steel or wood enclosure that's all built to withstand typical conditions. The oxidizer itself, similarly, really doesn't have, there's no boundaries in terms of the operating temperatures, rain, weather, wind. There is a stack, a six inch diameter by 20 foot tall total stack, which will be, which is flange mounted to the top of the unit and may or may not be supported by additional guy wires.
And what comes out of that stack is?
Those are the treated vapors.
Which, the chemical breakdown of that, as you told, you said,
pretty much carbon dioxide and water.
Pretty much, not so much.
Our air permit, well, no, the air permit issued by the state of New Jersey requires a minimum of 99% destruction. So if you've got, doing some quick math here, 1,000
right.
parts per million of gasoline vapors coming into it, the permit will allow 10 parts per million of gasoline-related vapors going out. In actuality, I've been running these systems and this particular equipment for years. It's often zero, so that's why I say usually.
Okay. How secure is the pipe from the vaporizer to the oxidizer?
It's a steel pipe that's going to be probably no more than 6 feet, 8 feet in length. So it's extremely secure. It's
6 to 8 feet
in length. Yeah.
Okay. And what's the diameter of it?
Probably be 3 or 4 inch. I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay.
Duke Monica? Okay. Yeah, it's probably 3 or 4 inch diameter.
Okay, what is there a safety measure to shut down the vaporizer if something were to happen to that pipe?
There's several safety measures in place. The one particularly where the air that's feeding into the oxidizer is monitored by a pressure sensor. If the pressure goes too low, then the oxidizer system shuts down, which in turn shuts the vapor extraction system down. So basically, if something were to happen to the pipe and the air were,
so the oxidizer is pulling.
No. The blower blows the air into the oxidizer, and there's a certain amount of pressure associated with that airflow going into the unit.
Right.
If that pressure should decrease because the airflow is going elsewhere, for instance. The pipe breaks and it's blowing out into the parking lot and not going to the treatment unit, the pressure sensor will note that there's an insufficient pressure and the entire system will shut down.
Which system shuts down?
Everything. the entirety of the oxidizer, the vapor extraction system, the air injection system. Okay. They're all interlocked together through a control system.
And how long does that take?
A matter of seconds.
Okay, so if a tree fell on it, or God forbid somebody vandalized it, or you know, somebody, or the price of steel goes up again, and somebody goes and steals the bike.
It's happened.
Yeah, sure. So these things aren't that secure.
Well, they've never stolen the pipe that goes. The pipe's usually pretty hot. Most people haven't put their hands on
it. Is it really hot?
We've had, it runs, depends, maybe somewhere in the order of 150 degrees.
Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Depends on the actual specification of the vacuum blower, how hot it is outside.
Uh-huh. Okay, so, all right. So a couple seconds, so within a matter of seconds it shuts down.
Within a matter of seconds, yeah.
Okay, and then what happens to the vapor that's in the vapor system while after it shuts down?
Well, like I said, it passes through a catalyst media, which, like, similar to a catalytic converter in your car, is causing those vapors to be treated. Basically, the units up to temperature, the vapors that are in there are going to destruct.
In the vaporizer, it's going to destroy.
When it stops,
yes. We have it.
Anything that's in the treatment unit in the catalytic oxidizer, that's going to be treated, and it's just going to sit there until the pipe is
okay. In the oxidizer, it's going to sit there in the vaporizer.
Well, the blower, you mean the extraction blower?
Right.
That's there's a minimal amount of air in there. I mean, you're just talking about the air that's filling the pipe that goes between the blower and.
But that's the one that makes all that noise. Yeah.
It makes some noise. Yes.
But that's
the amount of air. I mean, we're talking about a couple of cubic feet of air at best that's sitting in the 6 to 8 feet of pipe that runs between the blower and the treatment. Okay.
When everything shuts down.
Yes.
Okay. There'll be a little bit of air. A
little bit of air. Yep.
Okay. And the is everything that's in the. The blower slash vaporizer thing, that's going to escape.
It could, but again, it's only a few. The unit itself, it's probably a matter of a cubic foot or less of air that's actually in.
Okay, what about air that's in the pipes that's been on its way up?
There'd be no reason for that to. I mean, it's just pretty much going to stay stagnant in the pipes where it's at.
Just to follow that, this is a pressurized system.
It's a vacuum. The blower. The blower draws a vacuum to pull the air out of the subsurface.
Right. So without that pressure, everything stays in situ.
Right. Exactly.
If I may,
fancy for it stays in place.
If you're asking, I'm just trying to get. Yeah. If you're asking,
If you want to say something,
he's the engineer. I just wanted to clarify the point.
Excuse me.
You got
to swear in.
Okay.
Sorry.
Come on up.
Come on up. We'll swear you in.
Swear you in. You put your name on the record.
Swear great. You swear the testimony you give before this hearing will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
And your name?
Ron Rosenberg. Rosenberg.
And you're the licensed site professional.
I am the temporary licensed site professional. That's correct.
Okay. And just for the board, just give your qualifications.
Sure. Been project manager at GES for about a year and a half there, but been operating probably for about 17 years in the industry.
And what education background do you have?
Bachelor of Science in Environmental Science from Stockton State College.
And you are the person who will be responsible for the implementation oversight of the system?
That is correct.
Why do they call you temporary?
Everybody is temporary.
The actual.
It's a burning I'm sure everybody's temporary.
They just announced test results. They're not going to actually impanel you as an LSRP until the end of the month, right?
I'm not sure if it's end of the month. It's a process. It's a new, brand new program, yes. So they're working on it.
You're not temporary to the job. You're temporary because until DEP says
I'm that's correct.
Right.
No longer temporary.
Right.
Yes. Okay. So I just wanted to clarify a point. Joe is the senior engineer. I defer to him. But I just want to clarify the point that if the system goes down, everything shuts off. Isn't that correct? The blower, that's all I was really
pointing
at. I'm sorry. I was asking if they said that. That's all I want to say. My bad. No, I was just asking. I wasn't sure if that was said. My apologies about that.
Thanks,
Ron. That's good. Thanks, Ron.
Sorry about that. Here you go.
Yes. try to put something in a way that that I can relate to it. I'm trying to in my own mind figure out how much vapor is involved in your system over a certain whatever time frame compared to something that we all might be familiar with, say like putting gas into your lawnmower and you spill a few ounces, all of that eventually vaporizes.
Right.
Okay, how much vapor from those 2 ounces are you gonna get, and how does that compare to a minute or so of vapor created by?
Wow, that might take me a few minutes on paper to try to. First of all, the concentrations typical that are being drawn into the system, like for instance, the oxidizer has a finite upper limit in terms of the concentrations of vapor from the ground that it can treat.
The more concentrated it is, the
It can only go so high. If you hook up the oxidizer to the gas tank in your car, it would shut down in about 3 seconds because that would be too rich of a stream.
That's good for it.
The concentrations coming out of the ground are typically going into a unit of that we have proposed are on the order of maybe 1,000 parts per million, which is a fraction of the vapor. Like, for instance, if you were to take a measurement of the vapors, the concentration of the vapors coming out of your gas tank, it might be about 13,000 parts per million.
What are those numbers again?
It's less than 10%.
One out of 1,000.
1,000 out of maybe 13,000.
Yeah, no, 1,000 parts is what is
1,000 parts per million, about 30.
But stop right here. Okay. 1,000 parts per million is what the system typically would be handling that we're describing.
Exactly.
Right. If you open your gas tank and you take that cap off and you sample the air, that's going to be 13,000,
right,
or 13 times
the
concentration of what the vapors are that are being extracted by the system.
That was just step one. Okay. I do intend to answer your question.
I think that's fine.
I think that's what you were looking for, right?
So if everyone at the table here takes the top off of their gas cans and put gas in their lawnmower, we're creating more gasoline vapor for the afternoon than your machine would if it shut down.
Well, that's the richness of the concentration.
Okay.
You know, again, how long is that cap off? How long did you spill? How long does it take to vaporize? So, you know, and then in the time that the system shuts down, again, we're already dealing with vapors that are less than 10% of what you're dealing with in terms of pure gasoline.
Okay.
And then again, it's only a matter of a few seconds that the system would be running.
I was thinking that the amount of vapor involved and the remediation process was going to be fairly low in a given period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You're just trying to get it out of the soil.
Right.
Exactly. Okay. Right. And over cumulatively over hours, days, weeks, months, years, that's over the level.
Right.
That's where.
Does the DEP approve the process you're suggesting generally, or do they approve it site specifically?
That's now governed under the technical guideline. Ron, you really pretty.
To this question, typically, it is one of several methods that's used, and engineering does calculations to determine what is the best fit. We've done pilot tests to determine what would be the best fit technology, and this is a recommended practice.
So have they already accepted this proposal for this project, the DEP?
This has not gone to the DEP.
Explain the process, Ron. LSRP is the DEP in the eyes of the regulations under the statute, who has the authority and is empowered.
Has their eyes and ears.
Yes.
Correct. Yes. But it is a recommended practice. There are several different types of engineering techniques. Engineering does their evaluation. We don't just choose one of
things. So who are you, the one who signs off on the proposal plan, the plan to do this?
That is correct.
Okay. And then you monitor it?
We have operation monitoring. We're doing probably twice a month for the first. We have a system that we're going to set in place to make sure we're monitoring, to make sure it's working properly, adjusting the levels, adjusting the wells. There's a lot of engineering involved with.
Does the DEP itself, put you aside a second, does DEP do anything about this project at the front end, let's say the next year or two?
Other than they'll receive milestone reports. Just checking the box saying they received the report, but they don't do anything.
Okay.
When the process is done, you will issue what's called a remedial action outcome, correct?
That's correct.
And that is the same or equivalent to what was referred to as a no further action letter.
And that they have to approve, yes. Right. That will go to the state and they have to sign off on that.
Correct. That's
they have to?
It's not, but it requires their approval. That's correct.
Right. If they don't approve it, there's a 3-year audit period. They can then actually reopen the entirety of everything that was ever done during the audit period to re-examine what was done if they're not satisfied with your REO.
Yes.
Are there any controls at all, or like you, the Supreme Court, as far as this is concerned?
When you say controls, as far as government?
Is there any, who's watching you?
The LSRP Review Board.
Ultimately, there is a set of standards, and there's lots and lots of guidance documents, and there's a lot of guidance.
I guess the real oversight, Mr. Gallagher, is that this REO is just the completion of the remediation. This 3-year audit period, if you mess up and you have to be audited, that's a really bad outcome. I can't even describe how bad of an outcome it is if you're audited and they reopen your entire remediation.
And we have to meet certain objectives, of course, and we're not just going to say, you know, it's been 2 years, we shut it off. And we have to meet certain objectives, certain remediation criteria that would leave us to shut the system off and make sure that we're at the proper level.
Okay.
I have no further witnesses.
Okay. Anyone here?
How often does this equipment turn itself on and off, or is it just a constant run?
It runs continuously. If there's anything that would cause it to shut down, a power outage, or, you know, a failure, you know, a blower, like any mechanical piece of equipment, just like a blower in your furnace could fail. If that were to fail, then it would shut down. But
so this is all electric, or is it diesel?
All electric.
So you don't have to worry about filling it, the diesel motor running?
No.
So it's basically a big electric motor.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's two, the blower itself has an electric motor. Again, it's no different, it's just larger than the one you'd have in your furnace at home. Very similar design. And then the same thing with the air injector, which is another blower with a motor. And the oxidizer has electric heaters. Not that many people have electric heat in their house anymore, but
I do. Nothing, unfortunately.
It's really nothing different than, again, just larger, because you're heating a larger volume of air.
Okay.
Jackie,
anything?
No, I'm familiar with
the
Allison.
Anyone from the member of the public? Do we have anyone from the
you're all with me.
I can skip that question.
My entourage.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, Mr. Chairman, we're requesting that the board confirm satisfaction of Resolution 6 and to accept the site plan modification as proposed, shown on A22. That is before the board, and recognize that the applicant and ExxonMobil have satisfied their condition and are locating equipment appropriately.
I'm assuming this is going to be like a big lock on there so nobody can break into the equipment and stuff. It's going to be same
kind of lock. Yeah, the fence will be locked with a chain, a commercial grade master lock.
It's going to look kind of inconspicuous.
I don't garbage container.
It might. It's not. I don't know if it's not really going to.
It's going to look pretty much like a trash can.
Yeah.
It's going to look like a fenced-in garbage container.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. People are going to be throwing trash over the fence.
I just got one question. You said the pipe's coming up 20 feet?
The exhaust pipe from the outside.
How are you going to secure that?
It's actually the manufacturer of the equipment has designed a strut that supports the base of the unit. The stack connects through a collar, and then there's two or three legs that strut the unit to the top.
Okay.
And then typically, there's also guy wires that
are three. So, as you are, you're gonna, and that's all going to be contained within the pen?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, nobody can play with them outside the pen?
No. No, that's the idea with the fence, to keep everything enclosed.
Okay. All right. Good.
We're all done.
Okay. All right. Any comments, discussion?
No, I think that they have showed us that what they said they were going to do last month, they have indeed done, and I have no problem with it. I think it's a fine plan.
As long as it's secured, that's all I care.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're looking for a motion to
Okay, I'll make that motion to accept this.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Fox?
Yes.
Ms. Ryan?
Yes.
Mr. Kutash?
Yes.
Mr. Knox?
Yes.
Mr. Braswell?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Mr. Conley?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You don't need to come back next month.
unless I have my swimsuit on and I'm going down to the shore, then I'll be here.
Okay, last thing is approval of minutes for June 7th.
I move that we approve them.
Thank you, Art.
Okay.
Yes,
do a second.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Roll call.
Ms. Ryan?
Yes.
Mr. Kutash?
Yes.
Mr. Knox?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Mr. Braswell?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Motion for adjournment.
Yeah, so who?
Do we have, is there an...
Who did that?
I did.
Mr. Fox, seconded by Mr.
Gallagher.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are here. Did everyone, did I say...